Continuing coverage of Hurricane Milton now off the coast on the Atlantic side as a Category 1, hitting around 8:30 in the Sarasota-Bradenton area last night and cutting across the state and arriving as a Category 3 storm. And we begin with a report from CBS's Christian Benitez in Tampa.
There was so much concern about what could potentially happen here in the Tampa Bay area because they could potentially clog up some of the storm drains. We're on Davis Island. This is where Tampa's main hospital is located. You may recall seeing some of those barrier, that video with the barrier surrounding the hospital. That's where we're at right now. There was so much concern that this area would be completely flooded, but at this point it appears that it is not.
Hurricane Milton came roaring ashore on Florida's west coast overnight, bringing with it life-threatening winds, heavy rains, and dangerous storm surge.
I hear a lot of wind outside.
Bradenton resident Angie Samaro and her family are riding out the storm at home, located outside of the evacuation zone.
We knew that we wanted to stay.
Closer to the Gulf Coast in Newport Richey, residents and their pets took shelter in middle school gym.
We take this stuff serious. And we live in a flood zone.
In the days leading up to the storm, millions were urged to evacuate. Last night, Florida's governor said it's too late for those who did not heed those earlier warnings.
It's too dangerous to evacuate safely, so you have to shelter in place and just hunker down.
Already, there are reports of deaths, injuries, and extensive property damage after tornadoes swept through parts of the state ahead of Milton's arrival.
In Tampa, the storm struck here as residents were still cleaning up from Helene and dumped 3 to 5 inches of rain an hour.
We've got your back.
Yesterday, President Joe Biden said the federal government has millions of meals, water, and thousands of personnel on the ground for response. Tropicana Field had been set up as a base for National Guard and emergency workers earlier this week. Last night, strong winds ripped the stadium's roof to shreds.
What we have seen are multiple trees that are down throughout Davis Island, including one that is blocking the entrance to Tampa proper.
CBS is Christian Benitez. We saw the scene where that Tropicana Field had already set up cots inside as an emergency shelter, and they just had a drone shot where you could see into, obviously there's nobody there, that they can't house anybody.
Imagine, Larry, being the person who put all that together, all the work that went into it, and then realizing that you've got to come up with a plan B for that many beds.
I don't know what they do. But I guess in Tampa, they didn't sustain a direct hit. And as Christian pointed out, because it went south, they weren't on the higher side of the tidal surge. So the flooding could have been much worse, although they're talking about 20 inches of rainfall, which here is unimaginable.
Now, we talked with Mike Gallagher, who's a Pittsburgh native who lives in the Tampa Bay area now. And he told us that flash flooding is still a problem because of all the water overwhelming the sewer system. And this is just from the rainfall alone.
Right. And CBS's Nicole Valdez just filed this report 2 minutes ago.
Well, we mentioned the storm made landfall near Siesta Key, but the storm is massive. This was the scene last night in Fort Myers, about 80 miles south of there, with entire neighborhoods flooded by a powerful storm surge. Nicole Valdez is in Fort Myers for us this morning. Nicole, good morning.
Vlad, good morning. Things much calmer now than they were overnight. But as you can see here, one of the biggest issues is that flooding. Now, not to take this storm lightly, we still had wind gusts up to 75 miles per hour here. But this is all that dreaded storm surge that pushed water from the Caloosahatchee River. It's now submerged several of these brick downtown streets. And you'll notice how far back this water goes. This is actually much less water than we saw at the height of this storm. It has been unfortunate that so many in the area of Fort Myers know all too well what that storm surge could look like. About 6 inches of water moved into the downtown area overnight. And you'll notice it actually rushed into some nearby businesses, including this restaurant. Now, Milton also spawned more than 124 tornado warnings across the state, with at least 37 reports of confirmed tornadoes, including two right here in Fort Myers. And you can see the powerful wind ripping through what was once the roof of this home and pushing an RV over onto another car. Now, the National Guard has been activated, many saying they are making their way into the areas to help in that search and rescue. We actually saw what looked like a convoy of guardsmen heading this direction, hopefully getting that help in, even really just hours after landfall, Vlad.
That is Nicole Valdez from CBS in Fort Myers. I have friends that they worked their whole life to retire to build a little home in the Fort Myers area, only to have it destroyed a couple of years ago with that hurricane. Then Helene, 2 weeks ago, inundated. They had just finally repaired it after 2 years. It was completely destroyed the first time. They had it rebuilt. They had flooding from Helene 2 weeks ago, and now God knows what they'll wake up to here with this storm today. And
we're not going to know for a while how bad it really is. I mean, these reports we're getting initially are very, very informative, but I guess we better be prepared for the scope of it to be broad, you know.
And many of these areas were evacuated, so we're obviously, until people can get out to these barrier islands like Anna Maria and, you know, Longboat Key, Siesta, it's going to take a while to figure out just how extensive the damage is.
From what I'm picking up, Larry, at this point, it sounds like the fatalities will probably be more associated with the tornadoes. 20 were reported, and we had a confirmation of 12 of them touching down. So that might be the case. Because of all the evacuations, the flooding deaths may be minimal, hopefully.
But seeing some of the video yesterday, late in the day, when the tornado started spinning off ahead of the storm making landfall, it was like a sci-fi movie that you would see these menacing tornadoes just ripping through parts of the Florida Peninsula. Fall right near Sarasota, which is on the Gulf side. If you're not familiar, that would be south of Tampa, Florida. And a moment ago on CBS, Paul, the head of Sarasota County Emergency Management, her name is Sarah Capofina, explained what the game plan is.
We did expect to get that up to 12 feet of storm surge. From our initial assessment, it looks like we may be closer to 7 or 8 feet of storm surge, especially down in the Venice area and along our barrier islands. So maybe just a couple feet more than we got from Hurricane Helene just a couple of weeks ago. So that's good news if we didn't get quite that much surge. We do have a lot of damage from just normal winds at that high wind speed and, of course, the normal power outages. We have teams that are out now clearing and assessing, and so we're hoping to get more word back as they get out. We have a bridge that's damaged out to Lido Key, and so we're not able to get quite to Longboat Key just yet. So there's still a lot of assessments going on.
Boy, that's an area that I'm very familiar with, and so many Pittsburghers are too. Sarasota, very popular place for retirement or second homes or vacation all along that. So from Sarasota along the islands, there's Longboat Key and then Anna Maria Island.
Up at the top, yeah.
Yeah, and then just to the west would be Bradenton, where the Pirates also, not only did they have Leecom Park, but a little further west, they have Pirate City. And Pirate City, because they house players and a lot of them during spring training, they're able to utilize. That's where the police department now are located for Bradenton.
The base camp for Bradenton police is there.
Man, it's just starting now in terms of being able to assess what this storm has done.
First we get the flood from the hurricane, and then we get a flood of information the day after.
Yeah, and as the Sarasota County Chief Emergency Officer just said, they expected actually a little more water with a surge, and they got a little more than Helene, and Helene had put all this sand up. It's rearranged the beaches. Some cases we heard from Helene, unrecognizable. If you were somebody that frequented that area, you would know some of the places. So we'll continue to bring you updated information, and a lot of Pittsburgh contacts, a lot of help headed that way. West Penn Power sending utility workers and other utilities down there to help, and in other areas too in the south. And then the Red Cross sending volunteers, Salvation Army, Brothers Brother Foundation, all working together to support the federal government, too, FEMA, and their efforts to get whatever help is needed. Right now, they're in a rescue mode for some of the people that are still stranded.
Swift water rescues probably underway the moment they could begin them. One of the things that the storm did do is it provided them with a fairly quick exit. It's moving almost 20 miles an hour when it left the peninsula.
Yeah, I guess there are two big factors. They anticipated it making landfall as a Category 4. It came as a Category 3. It did touch off a swarm of tornadoes in Florida, and then it ended up arriving a little earlier because it started moving faster, and so it actually could have been much worse. It moved across the peninsula relatively rapidly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking happened. Right. And I would also point out a couple of hours before landfall, when the eye was kind of starting to wobble a little bit, what I noticed was it was the bands of rain, the most intense rains, were falling way, way, way off of where the hurricane was, back up in the Tampa Bay area. And this is why they had all the flooding. This is as much as 20 inches of rain in spots.
And we talked to our friend Elliot Felcioni, who was at landfall, ground zero, where he lives. He hunkered down in his home just off the coast, off of the immediate mandatory evacuation area, and said the eye of the storm came over. And he said it was the most surreal thing he'd ever seen, where you're in the midst of this devastating storm, and all of a sudden it's quiet.
Nothing.
Dead quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unbelievable phenomenon.
Like the morning after a really heavy snowfall. You know how quiet it is?
Yeah, and then
kind of thing.
You've seen, a lot of people probably saw on social media, not network TV, the shots from space of the storm, how huge it is and how well-defined that eye wall was. So, Milton now off the coast, at least the eye on the Atlantic side. LaSalle Plaza and Cranberry's with us. You can see Dr. Mike on the radio via our video at kdkradio.com. Check out our stream. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Paul.
I was thinking about you this morning. I'm starting to see some footage of pets that have been abandoned in this storm, Milton in Florida. And I would imagine they're going to have a crisis with animals that are just going to be all over that state right now.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And people are, you know, trying to take care of themselves. And you know how close we all are to our pets. Can you imagine having to leave a pet behind?
No, actually,
yeah,
I can't
either. None of us can.
All right, we have questions from your fans. Eva in Swickley, could you explain the health implications of not spaying my dog and how it might affect her long term?
Yeah, so I get asked this a lot. If we don't spay our dogs, so we have when you spay a dog, it reduces the risk of certain cancers. Mammary gland tumors, 99% less chance of getting a malignant breast cancer in a dog if they're spayed early. Uterine cancers are gone because we remove the uterus. Ovarian cancers are gone. Pyometra, it's a serious uterine infection that it's life-threatening, and it can result, and most of the time does result in emergency surgery. So that can be a nightmare. It eliminates the complications of heat cycles and all the behavioral things that go with it. Mismatings, the dogs get anxious. Male dogs are always seeking them out, jumping fences, going through screen doors. And, of course, it contributes to the pet population. So by spaying them, they're not getting unwanted pregnancies.
Dr. Mike, Xavier on the north side says, what steps can I take to minimize the risk of my pet contracting Lyme disease?
Well, that's a great question. Year round around here, we're a tick infested area and they're disease carrying experts. So tick preventive is number one. You should have your animal on a monthly tick preventive or what your veterinarian recommends for your individual dog. We have a vaccine that's very effective for Lyme disease. They consider it an A-rated vaccine, which means, you know, 90% effective. And in my experience, that's true. So I recommend that because we're in a core area. Regular tick checks on your dog, you know, maintain your yards, cut the lawns, remove unwanted brush, things like that. Avoid those high tick exposure areas if you can. I mean, I have dogs. I live in the woods. We go out and sometimes they, you know, run off the driveway into the woods. And of course, the first thing I do is check them over and under the tails, under the collars, in the ears, and see if I can get any ticks off them. But if I miss them, they're on monthly tick prevention. So that's the best advice I can give. And I do recommend that. We talk about Listerine and water oftentimes where we spray the dog's coat. I do that and before I go out. And that helps repel the ticks if they do get on them. But it does not replace that monthly prevention.
And the ticks then do have refreshed breath.
Don't use the minty fresh.
Zoe in Carnegie wants to know, Dr. Mike, what are the most effective methods for socializing a puppy? Our previous dog, very frightful of people and other animals, made it difficult to take her out. We've seen this, Doc, where pets are real skittish and then they bark incessantly in some cases too.
Yeah, this is a very important question because the number one reason animals are put down is not cancer, is not heart disease. It's for behavioral disorders. So when you have a puppy, that first 16 weeks, it's the best time in their life to socialize them. So I tell people, socialize, take them out, expose them to all the noises, all the different pets, birds, other cats, other dogs, other people, different sized people, and make sure that they're getting a lot of exposure, carry a lot of rewards, reward them for positive behavior. Take them to a puppy class. That's very important. They'll meet other puppies there and they'll learn manners. And then make sure that they have safe encounters, protect them from those aggressive situations, and you'll find out you have a very, very good puppy. Remember, sometimes that's inherited too. They'll get some of these behavioral disorders from, you know, the mama dog. So make sure that you're doing good selection when you get a puppy. If you can, ask the breeder for help. They're very good at it. Ask your veterinarian for help.
Doc, as always, appreciate your time. Have a great week.
It's always my pleasure. You guys have a great week too. Take care.
The good doctor, Mike Hutchinson, animalgeneral.net. And we have a link at kdkradio.com. Coming up right after the news with Paul Rasmussen at the top of this hour, a weekly visit with broadcast legend, Hall of Famer, Bill Hillgrove. As we get into the weekend, a rare visit by California, not the whole state, just the university. The Brown Bears will be in town for a 3:30 kick at Acrisure Saturday, Paul, and they are now in the ACC Conference. This is their first year, along with SMU. The Panthers will play SMU on the road at the end of the month. But this is a chance for Pitt to go 6-0 and be bowl eligible this weekend.
I'm all for it.
I mean, that's a big deal. And by the way, last night, Pitt's volleyball team, number one in the nation for the fifth straight week, just crushed 15th-ranked SMU at Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. So Pitt's kind of on a roll right now.
Yeah, it was a three-set sweep. I think they've lost one set all year so far, just one set.
And even if you're not a big sports enthusiast, just the excitement around that. Good for the university, good for the city. Pitt's now ranked in football 22nd in the country. So for the first time in a couple of seasons, they are ranked. And you keep winning, and that'll keep going up.
It's good to see it.
Yeah, it is. And looking forward to Saturday's game. Looks like Mother Nature is going to cooperate, too, with high around 70 Saturday.
Plus, Penn State's playing really well there. They're headed for a playoff berth, for sure.
Yeah, they're combo of the teams. They're 10-0.
Yep.
So if you're a Penn State fan, Pitt fan, even West Virginia's winning. How about that?
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.